SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, the dumb for a Tuesday. Let's get the good.
The good is, you probably saw this going on. There's a little bit of a chicken sandwich war going on.
I did. I saw this, and I'm kind of interested in participating.
I think the only surefire way to do this, like for you and I, is just to go out and try each and every one.
I think you're right.
But it all started with Chick-fil-A tweeting out, you know, their basic chicken sandwich was just chicken, pickle, plus equals love, or something like that. And so Popeyes decided that, you know what, we got some words about it. Obviously, Chick-fil-A's was bun plus chicken plus pickles equals all the love for the original. And then Popeyes tweeted out, y'all good?
Yeah, so what is Popeyes putting on theirs?
No, Popeyes is just saying that, you know, just trying to say their chicken sandwich is better than...
Right, but are they adding anything different? And a lot of people have been kinda,
well, this all comes in a wake of a report came out last week, I think towards the end of last week, that Chick-fil-A was going to make their sandwiches a little smaller.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Now, hold on.
There's a little backstory to that that's not being mentioned in the Chicken Wars.
Yeah, don't be messing around with that.
Yeah, we're Americans. We don't want anything smaller.
Don't go cheap on me, Dotson. All right?
Exactly.
Uh-uh.
So, but the outlier of obviously is Wendy's. Not really known for a chicken place, but they're getting into the chicken sandwich game. And we all know Wendy's has a great social media team.
Yeah, they do.
So Wendy's fired back at Popeyes, y'all, or to both of them. It's like, you're all out here fighting about which of these fools has the second best chicken sandwich.
Ah, well done.
Then Popeyes responds, sounds like someone just ate one of our biscuits because y'all looking thirsty.
Ah,
Wendy's not to be outdone. Laugh out loud. Guess that means the food's as dry as the jokes.
Ooh.
So
we're on a real fast food war here.
Like I said, there's two ways to settle it. One, you just got to go out. We need to go out and just try every single sandwich and determine which best. Or two, price war.
Yeah, exactly. I might try that Popeye sandwich.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that, too.
Yeah. I like chicken sandwiches.
So do I.
I like them a little too much.
They need to, but are you just regular or spicy?
Regular, but I'm good for a spicy every now and then.
Yeah, you got to go spicy.
Yeah. So that's good. I'm glad they're having fun.
Yeah, we got a chicken war.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. I'm glad they're having a good time. That's you should. This isn't all serious.
No, just have some fun.
Have some fun with it.
And then, you know, slash the prices so we can all get into the act.
That's very true. Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
you know, the price of the medical bill we'll have after firing down three of your sandwiches will totally make up for the price that we saved on buying those three sandwiches.
That's right. That is right. All right. Well, then what's the bad?
The bad of the day is that we're going to die in 10 years.
Oh, God. Again?
Yep.
Don't tell me it's robots.
No, it's not robots. It's all the other great sci-fi thing where we need to send Bruce Willis and a team up into space.
Oh, no. An asteroid is coming?
The colossal god of chaos, a.k.a. Apophis. We'll be flying by Earth 10 years from now, traveling at 25,000 miles per hour.
That is uncomprehensible.
Yeah, now, it's not supposed to hit us, but it could, you know, anything could happen. You know, it could all of a sudden just decide to, you know, spin its way towards us.
Right.
But the asteroid will pass within 19,000 miles above the Earth's surface.
That's way too close.
How close is that, you say? Most satellites orbit 22,236 miles from the planet.
Okay, so I remember one of these movies, and I can't remember which one, where one of the speckles from the big asteroid knocked out, like, the space station or something.
Yeah.
Like, in the opening credits.
I think that was Deep Impact.
Was that Deep Impact?
I think so.
Okay. So that is very scary.
Yeah, because Armageddon was, the guy found it in a telescope.
That's right.
And
then
he
died.
And he wanted to call it Dottie.
Right. He wanted to call it Dottie because it was going to wipe out mankind.
Yep.
So, yeah.
He wanted to name it after his wife.
That's right. And then what was the kid's name? Elijah
Wood. That was Deep Impact.
Yeah, that was Deep Impact. And then Armageddon. Right. Armageddon was the oil drillers.
Yes.
Okay, now, please forgive me for not remembering these movies as well as I should. Deep Impact was the astronauts went up with Robert Duvall and Jon Favreau, and they were going to plant a device, and then they ended up sacrificing themselves.
Yep.
Right? Okay, and then Armageddon was Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, Steve Buscemi.
The whole crew.
Going up, and they were, we shouldn't even be here! Yep. Yeah!
And it was drilling.
Right, the drilling. Okay, so... Do you think the president will come on it, who's ever the president at the time, and go, we will build a series of caves in the Missouri mountains?
Maybe they already started.
Maybe they already have started.
And maybe they're just coming out and saying, you know, yeah, no, don't worry. It's going to pass by. You'll see it with the naked eye.
Can you keep that a secret? Yeah, can you keep that a secret? If you found the asteroid and you knew it was coming to Earth, one, do you think the government would know ahead of time and then they would go to you and say, you are not telling a soul?
I would say no, except the movie 2012.
Okay.
That was the one with John Cusack.
If I remember correctly, and again, you can correct me, because you have a good memory with movies, man.
Yes.
You really, really remember your movies.
I like
movies
my disaster films.
Yes. Same with my wife. She watches these over and over again. Is that the one where all the rich people had a special pager that went off when it was like, board now? And they left whatever they were doing because they all knew
and paid special
money to get on these arcs.
And this is what I'm thinking. If this asteroid is a true global killer, like people are predicting,
right?
Then it doesn't, you know, we don't need to build mountains or tunnels in the Missouri mountains or in the Colorado Rockies or anything like that. Because I think that would get noticed.
Right.
All of a sudden, a bunch of guys are hired away, and they're like, what are they drilling in the Colorado Rockies for?
But, and why is it all military that's doing that?
But 2012, they had China doing it.
Yeah.
Now, no one knows what's going on in China. The only thing we know what's going on in China right now is they're having a clash with Hong Kong.
That's true.
And that's all
right.
We know.
That's all we know.
I mean, that could be a ruse to building. We need to get everything kind of situated in China. And then we're going to move all the peoples there.
I thought the ending of Deep Impact, if all you had to do was get to the top of the mountain, then you should have been there at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Those
parents were lazy.
They literally sat there and they were like, go, go, go. And they gave the baby. Then when they should be like, honey, you know, I know we're a little older, but if we just keep running, we might actually get to the top of that hill.
Could outrun this thing.
We might be able to just get to the top of the hill, and then we could survive with our children. How about that? Instead of standing here admitting that we're going to die and then kissing one final time, why don't we actually put the pedal to the metal and actually start running up this hill?
Yeah. Now, I mean, you know what? You remember Tia Leone's character when she was with her dad on the beach.
Yeah.
They had no chance.
They had no chance.
And hopefully it was instant.
Yeah, because she gave up her seat on the helicopter for the other woman and the baby.
Yes.
Remember that? Oh, God.
Well, that was very noble of her.
That asteroid is getting too close.
So, yeah, the asteroid will be here 10 years from now. Apparently, you can see it with the naked eye over Australia. That'll be the best viewing area over Australia. So it'll probably just wipe out the South Pole.
I'd like to ask a scientist real quick before we move on to the dump, to the dump portion of the day. Yeah. Will the heat of the I mean, I don't know how space works.
You know what? You talk about it all the time. Like, if the moon has a gravitational pull to make waves,
right?
What would be an asteroid flying by the Earth in between the Earth and the moon?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's got to do something to the waves, right? Or at least to the clouds. Are we all going to, you know, is it going to be a weird mood for
right.
us?
Right. By the way, and I'm going to take you back to the 1980s. Those of you on Twitter, you're going to thank me for this. Trust me, guys, you're going to thank me for this. There used to be a cartoon when I was a kid called Thundar the Barbarian. Mm. All right. Now, if you look up if you go to YouTube and you look up the opening credits for Thundar the Barbarian, the cartoon started. This was a Saturday morning cartoon where an asteroid passed right between the Earth and the moon. And it split the moon apart. And it caused all these disasters on Earth, and then we kind of went back to, like, prehistoric times. And that's where Thundar the Barbarian came to fruition. There was, like, new creatures and all that stuff over, like, that's how it started. The moon cracked. And now I have that in my head from my Saturday morning cartoons that if an asteroid got too close, something bad was going to happen. It just wasn't going to fly by and not do anything. that it was going to do something.
Right.
It's flying by at 25,000 miles an hour.
It's cruising.
It's cruising. It's going to pull something, right? Like, you're going to wake up and go, whoa, that didn't feel good. What's going on here?
Maybe we'll have big lasers out there at the time that could shoot it out of the sky and create a really awesome shooting star meteor shower.
Thundar the Barbarian. Look it up. Thundar the Barbarian. All right.
I'm going to do that now.
Yeah, do that now. Trust me. You're going to love it.
The dumb of the day. There's a town in Wales. Oh, you know, over there across the pond,
Yes.
They are installing $200,000 anti-sex toilets.
What?
These toilets, when detecting inappropriate behavior, will sound an alarm, spray cold water, and open the doors.
That is awesome.
So, you know what? But you have to wonder, I mean, if they're going to such extremes as this, $200,000 is not cheap. How much of a problem is...
I don't think this is an issue.
Is this... No,
is
but...
Is this really a problem?
I mean, it's a $200,000 problem.
That's crazy. Now, I'd like to know the technology behind this. How does it determine that there is going on in the bathroom?
Because if you... I mean, right. The first thought that went through my mind is, what if that's not happening?
Right.
And you're just, you're having to squirm a little bit, as what if one does from time to time in a public restroom.
And what if you're in there just reading a magazine and you've been in there way too long and it says, well, there's can't be the natural reason why he's in there. There's got to be a much longer reason why he's in there.
Or, you know, is it does it detect noises, sound?
Yeah.
And you make some people may make a weird sound when doing their business.
That's interesting.
I'm just thinking, like, if it's a solo person who's just trying to get through his job, you know, all of a sudden you're soaking wet, alarms are sounding, and the bathroom door's flung open, and there you are, vulnerable.
They've created another problem here. And here's the problem. You know that there are going to be couples that are going to say, let's get caught with the anti-sex toilet. We don't care.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like, we don't care. We don't care if the door is open and the alarm goes off. We don't care. We're voyeuristic. We don't care if people see us. We're going to do it anyway. We're going to put it on our bucket list. We want to get caught by the anti-sex toilet. We want the alarms to sound and the doors to open. We don't care. And then it becomes a trend, and then more and more people will do it. More and more people want to be part of that club. And then you've created a problem that you thought you were solving, but instead made it worse.
Or what if it becomes like, you know, one of these social media things, anti-sex toilet challenge?
That's right. Oh, exactly.
Where you try to do it and not get caught.
Right. Exactly.
So it just becomes hashtag anti-sex toilet challenge.
Very cool. That's a great point. So now you've created a bigger issue, right? So you should have consulted with Ron and I first before you invested $200,000 in something that is now just going to be a big fad.
And honestly, Wales, I mean, how much sex is being had in public toilets?
That's what I want to know.
$200,000 is a lot of money.
And if so, are you all living with your parents? I mean, how is this working?
Does no one have a flat of their own?
Exactly. There's no hotel rooms. You don't live by yourself. What is going on?
Couldn't find a nice park bench.
Your cars are too small. What's going on there? All right. I mean, please tell me what's going on that is becoming the new thing.
That's the only option. Because, I mean, I remember the last time I went into a public toilet and thought, you know what would be really fun in here?
Yeah, right?
God.
This is so clean and nice. Exactly. This is a perfect spot for me and my mate. Oh, God. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Tuesday on SB Nation AM.